Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Reggie McIntyre, and I am your guest host, and this show is for the week of July 30th, 2017. Today, we are joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. D.R., how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. And we are also pleased to be joined by Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very, very good. Well, DR, I know that we have a number of issues that we want to get through. We got a giant focus on EPA this evening, so I'd like to get right into that. So why don't you start us off, and we'll move forward from there.
Well, the most significant story that's come down in the last couple, few days is a great expose by the always great Jeff Goodell of Rolling Stone entitled Scott Pruitt's Crimes Against Nature, describing how EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has been turning the EPA from the Environmental Protection Agency into, to use the old joke from Senator Ed Markey, every polluter's ally. Basically, with a laser-like focus, Pruitt has been trying to roll back not just efforts to address climate change, but efforts to address pollutants that affect directly public health, clean air, clean water, basically, you know, turning the entirety of the EPA apparatus over to the fossil fuel industry and the chemical industry, and basically trying to essentially implode the EPA, in effect. It's essentially a controlled implosion, similar to what you see, you know, when an old arena is decimated. That's what he's trying to do to the EPA. There's a quote from an EPA staffer that says, quote, "It's been 6 months and people are still crying at their desks," unquote, over what Pruitt has been doing.
Right. Well, and what I gathered from that article, we're getting back to basics, is what he keeps saying. Back to basics, which I'm like, what the hell is that? What do you mean by that? It just makes me crazy. Mariah, what are your thoughts on this thus far?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me, I listened to a speech that he gave to CPAC, and, you know, so the Conservative Political Action Conference on February 25th, and it seemed that Pruitt, I mean, he mentioned several times process, rule of law, federalism, freedom, and reigning in the regulatory state. So he mentioned that several times. And I think he only mentioned clean air, clean water, maybe once, you know? And, you know, it's clearly his focus is not on clean air and clean water for the people. That just doesn't seem to be there. He did talk about, or I think I read, I don't know if it was in that speech, in fact it wasn't, but he did talk about the focus on the Superfund sites and cleaning those up, which I applaud him for that. That's great. The Superfund sites, of course, should be cleaned up. But he is trying to do that while at the same time gutting the budget to be able to clean it up. I think he gutted it. He's defending the White House budget proposal that reduces funding for Superfund sites by $330 million annually. So, you need money to clean up those sites. So I don't know exactly what he's thinking there.
Well, you know, and in the article, I believe it said we're turning this, say, for instance, the Superfund back to the states, which is great, but yet we're also cutting any sort of funding that we would forward to the states. So, you know, no matter what, everyone gets hosed. You know, there's not going to be any money to do this. And so as much as he wants to talk about Superfund, you got to have the money in order to make it happen. And so, D.R., continue on about this article. What else got under your skin that you can think of?
The article also notes that it's very likely that he will fail and his political career will end in misery, the same way the political career of the Scott Pruitt of the 1980s, Ann Gorsuch, the mother of Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, her career failed. It's noted that Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has challenged many of Pruitt's efforts to sort of wipe out clean air and clean water and climate protection. Other attorneys general have done the same thing. Pruitt is, in fact, being criticized by the right, by people who think he's not aggressive enough in trying to sort of, you know, destroy the administrative state, to use the Steve Bannon line. It's also noted that if in the event there is an environmental disaster along the lines of BP, and it's revealed how incompetent he is in terms of his response to it, that could essentially force him right out of office. And it's also noted as well that Pruitt seems to be trying to tailor his actions in an effort to sort of return to Oklahoma and try to run for either governor and senator in Oklahoma, but it's not necessarily clear that he'd be successful in that effort either. So it just looks as though this is a guy who's walking who's basically on the edge of a lightning bolt, and he may not be long for that office, because we see how quickly Trump can dismiss people who become political headaches. In fact, the article does note the political headache that Gorsuch and Interior Secretary Jim Watt became in the early 80s for reasons how he had to get rid of the well in advance of the 1984 presidential election.
Yeah.
So we could see something similar happen here.
Right, the whole Dump Watt campaign, where there was 1.1 million Americans who signed a petition to get rid of him, to get rid of James Watt, Secretary of Interior, who doesn't sound that different than Ryan Zinke, as a matter of fact. I guess James Watt had really very pro-development policies.
The article quotes, I got it in front of me here, the article quotes Al Franken. He says, Scott Pruitt is not Secretary of Commerce. His job is not to protect the fossil fuel industry. It's to make difficult decisions based on science and risk-reward analysis that protects the environment and the health of the American people. One of the articles that you forwarded was, in essence, said that, well, we'll get to that article later on, but... It says Al Franken, who opposed Pruitt's confirmation, says that having a guy like Pruitt in charge of the EPA is evidence of the dangerous, bizarro world we now live in. I mean, he came in purposefully. This is what he's going to do, and no science background, which is complete contrast to Gina McCarthy and all of the good that was done in those years. So it just makes my head want to explode, you know? Just makes my head want to explode. What else is in that article, you guys, either one of you, that was in there that you found interesting? Mariah, anything further on this article you found interesting?
I know that I read something about the, I don't know if it was in this particular article, but the EPA museum being shut down.
Yes.
There's that small EPA museum, which... you know, really chronicles the history of the EPA and all of the different leaders and all the things that they've done to improve environmental regulations. Well, rather, really, to improve our health, the home that we live in, and to make sure that we have clean water and clean air and, biodiversity. And so I guess it was a one-room exhibit that had information about the Paris Climate Agreement and the Clean Power Plan, which, of course, both of which Trump has decided to scrap. And the person who showed this to the Trump administration was not a political appointee, but was this woman, Nancy Grantham, who's a career public affairs employee at the EPA. And she basically said she doesn't like to be surprised by things, so she did it out of courtesy for the new administration, figuring that they wouldn't want to be surprised by it either. And, of course, they're obviously talking about overhauling that and adding something about the Superfund cleanup program. And I think they're going to put something in about coal.
They're going to have some pictures of Pruitt shaking hands with the coal and coal miners
workers.
And the coal industry.
Yeah.
I mean, having worked at EPA, again, I wasn't in the regulatory side, but I worked with plenty of people, a lot of people that I would go to for information that this is their real dedication to this work, and been there for a long time, and very, very dedicated, highly educated, smart people. And this is just, you know, like the article said, they're still at their desks crying, and I can believe it, absolutely. I mean, even during the Bush administration, while I was working there, I just found it so hard to recognize that George W. was my boss. You know, it just broke my heart every time. It was horrible. It was horrible. So, but that's this guy. George W. is nothing compared to this. Nothing compared to this. I mean. So anyway, so it's an excellent article from the Rolling Stone, and I would recommend anybody to take a look at it. Dia, we have a couple more issues with the EPA. So what's the next one you wanted to get into?
Well, you mentioned things that would make one's head explode. One of the things that should make everybody's head explode is apparently the EPA Scientific Integrity Committee, we should call it now, this so-called EPA Scientific Integrity Committee, is now saying it's okay for Scott Pruitt to lie. A panel convened by the EPA Scientific Integrity Committee says that that Scott Pruitt did not violate its scientific integrity policy when he basically claimed that there is no connection between CO2 emissions and global warming. The statement said, quote, "The freedom to express one's opinion about science is fundamental to EPA's scientific integrity policy, even and especially when that point of view might be controversial," unquote. This is according to Thomas Sinks of the so-called Scientific Integrity Committee. And Joe Rome of Climate Progress noted that this committee misinterpreted the statutes of the EPA, and that those statutes that Mr. Sinks made reference to, those refer to EPA staffers, EPA scientists. They don't refer to the EPA administrator, and that in fact a plain reading of the EPA statutes makes it clear that violated EPA policy when he denied the factual connection between CO2 emissions and climate change. It is absolutely outrageous, and as Real Rome points out, that this impeaches the integrity of the Scientific Integrity Committee itself. This is another entity that has been corrupted by the tiny little hands of the Trump administration.
Mariah, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, along the same lines, but I think that that Rick Perry, the Energy Secretary, has sort of been saying similar things, and the American Meteorological Society said basically, there is no conclusions about climate change. There's no debate about it. It's not open to debate. The science is based on multiple independent lines of evidence that have been affirmed by thousands of independent scientists, and there's no relevant subject matter that has reached a different conclusion. And it's just ludicrous that they're leaving wiggle room for debate in national government scientific entity. I mean, that's pretty crazy. There's no debate, and there shouldn't be room for them to say that there's any truth except for what the truth is.
Right. I mean, and just, that's what just grinds my gears. I just get wrapped around the axle is that, the guy is not a scientist, so he just comes in and just says, no, there isn't any explanation. This isn't what's happening. What I found interesting was it says the review focused on the following text included in the EPA scientific integrity policy, and it goes on to say when an agency substantively engages in the science informing an agency policy. Basically, what the article was saying is that the they cherry picked exactly the policy or the issue to make it look as though it was okay for Pruitt to say what he said. So it just it just makes, again, makes your head want to blow, explode, because it says the panel was cherry-picking a quote from a section of its policy related to resolving internal disagreements. That section is titled Promoting a Culture of Scientific Integrity at the EPA, and this particular part covers how to assure the protection of agency scientists. So basically, they were not quoting the correct article, the correct piece of that policy. Mm-hmm. So, so, well, we've got to, we're going to move on from Mr. Pruitt. That will also be on the blog. But the was there another issue you wanted to talk about the EPA has been told that they need to enforce the methane rule for oil and gas drillers? DR, is that what you wanted to talk about as well?
Yes, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled this week that the EPA needs to do its damn job, to use the Patriot slogan, and enforce Obama-era restrictions on methane emissions from the oil and gas industry. The EPA struck down the D.C. Circuit Court struck down the EPA's efforts to vacate the methane restrictions for the oil and gas industry, and therefore the rule is now in effect. Pruitt was trying to basically delay the implementation of this rule as long as possible, but the court said that Pruitt, quote, has not offered any support for the proposition that compliance would cause significant hardship to regulated entities that had a year's time to prepare, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if this rule is going to be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and of course, considering the makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court, how that decision will come
right.
down. But it's good to see this three-judge panel. It's good to see the D.C. Circuit Court basically give Pruitt the legal spanking he deserves. Of course,
yeah.
as I've mentioned before and I will mention again, you always have to pay attention to the importance of who gets on and who does not get on the federal judiciary. And obviously Trump and his minions will seek to try to, you know, change as many things around in terms of the D.C. Circuit, the highly influential D.C. Circuit as possible, because, you know, when you can get some real radicals, you know, on the D.C. Circuit, you can elevate them ultimately to the Supreme Court. Let's not forget Clarence Thomas was on the D.C. Circuit for about a year before he was boosted up to the Supreme Court. So it's something to pay attention to.
Definitely. Mariah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have too much to add to that. I do think, you know, carbon dioxide is a harmful pollutant and should be regulated under the Clean Air Act, and that has to happen. So,
Well, I think for me, because, you know, having worked in West Virginia and I was around enough gas sites, you know, gas wells and that kind of a thing, you would think that they would want to capture these leaks because they can, it can be put into, you know, downstream, put into the system, it can be utilized, it can be captured and utilized in some way, i.e., they can make money on it. So why they would just let it go up to the atmosphere is beyond me. It's just going to take some thinking and spending some money, but ultimately they're going to be the beneficiaries of it, the gas drilling companies. It's just, you know,
yeah,
just don't let it go.
Right, there are methane ways to recapture methane and use it.
Right. And it cannot be healthy to the folks living within the area, the general area of these gas wells. I mean, honestly, there would be, you know, folks living in their homes and stuff, and the wells are in real close proximity to them. It was surprising how close that they were allowed to put in gas wells in close proximity to folks' homes and stuff. So it cannot be good. And then I guess the last one I'm looking at, DR, is the senior EPA official that resigned with a scathing message for Trump and Pruitt. Do you have a few minutes to talk about that as well?
Yes, that was a fabulous story. A veteran 30-year EPA employee announced her resignation, Elizabeth Sutherland. And in her letter, she basically called out Trump and Pruitt on their alternative facts. It was a great, stirring conclusion where she said, quote, "Today the environmental field is suffering from the temporary triumph of myth over truth. The truth is there is no war on coal. There is no economic crisis caused by environmental protection, and climate change is caused by man's activities," unquote. It was a stirring letter and a great letter, but the sad element of the letter is that you think about all these veteran EPA officials who have knowledge and have a passion and a commitment to the agency essentially being chased out. It's very similar to what's going on in the State Department. They're essentially being chased out by the Trump administration. So all you're going to be left with is these sort of hacks who basically go in there and screw everything up. Basically, it's like you know, getting rid of somebody who's an IT genius and replacing them with somebody who barely knows Windows 95, essentially, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Although I hope that there are good, strong people who are going to stick around and just, you know, grit their teeth and be strong and get through it. I don't know. I'm not saying I could do that, but you know, if we keep losing all of these good people, then there's no hope for any of the environmental regulations to get spared.
I mean, that level of knowledge that is running out the door is just a scary thing, because I think too is that generationally, I mean, someone like myself or whatever that would stay for a period of time in one particular field. I mean, I switched around agencies, but you get that level of knowledge, and I just have to say, folks today don't necessarily want to stay at EPA for 30 years. They want to stay 10 years, and then they go become a consultant somewhere or something like that, you know. So that brain drain running out the door, that's a scary thing, because that's what you need, you know, that brain drain. And so,
you know, but it also her letter has been publicly posted. It's made the news. It's publicly posted by Peer, the Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. We'll put a link to it on our blog. And she really just, you know, lays it out against Pruitt and Trump, and said some really great things. You know, she talked about how a lot of what the repealing that they're doing, she called it a Sophie's choice, right? That where there's this repeal two existing rules in order to put in a new rule, a new regulatory rule. And she says, you know, they have to decide, are they going to protect infants from neurotoxins in order to promote a new rule protecting adults from a newly discovered liver toxin? They have to decide, who do they save, adults, infants, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, she said, this is a quote from her letter, the best case for our children and grandchildren is that they will pay the polluters' bills through increased state taxes, new user fees, and high water and sewer bills. The worst case is that they will have to live with increased public health and safety risks and a degraded environment. So it's pretty stark.
Yep, it surely is. And it is stark. That's the word. Guys, we're going to have to leave it there. That was a fast 20 minutes. So I appreciate you guys. And so you can check out our links to most of what we have discussed here on our blog, www.massclimateaction.org/blog. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/massclimateaction. And please share us. And you can listen directly to your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, and other directories. And you can also find us on iTunes by searching for Mass Climate Action. So we will close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal responsibility for our actions, personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the U.S. puts a long-term and equitable price on carbon. Thanks for being here, DR and Mariah, and thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.